It is 6:08 in the Twin Cities. Esme Murphy with you until 9 o'clock, along with studio coordinator Jonathan Lowe on a pretty pleasant, kind of steamy Saturday, but busy downtown. I don't think the Twins are in town, but it looks like there's a couple of concerts, I think. So lots of people around.
It's a busy concert weekend. No, the Twins are not in town, but Billy Joel is here this weekend. Tonight's big, I think... I can't remember whether he's playing again tonight. I know he played last night. But Earth, Wind, and Fire, I believe, played last night in town. And tonight's big one, I believe, is Florida Georgia Line with Nelly and the Backstreet Boys.
That's big.
That is big. Combining basically 20 years of music if you go right all the way back to the beginning of Backstreet Boys. And then tomorrow it's going to be Guns N' Roses. So
this is
a lot of big names.
Do you know if Guns N' Roses are they?
Guns N' Roses is going to be at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Okay, because I guess Billy Joel brought on Axl Rose at his concert last night. I know some people that were there, and it was Highway to Hell. What they say. Apparently, it was great.
I think that might be an appropriate song to bring
this summer to this town with all the road construction.
Yeah, yes. That. Well, plus the fact that you're bringing on Axl Rose, who has had a spotty and checkered history with his famous band, which would be Guns N' Roses.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have a friend, one of my oldest friends. Has her father's name is Axel, and she really thought about naming her child Axel, but this was, you know, Axl Rose. So she was just worried that people would automatically assume this child was named after Axl Rose.
Boy.
In fact, and I think it's a great name
because I'm betting she is in that time frame where Guns N' Roses, where she was maybe a teenager when Guns N' Roses was big.
Yeah, and certainly saw the aftermath and everything like that. But
yes.
And I was kind of like, well, you know, it is, and because I do think it's a really cool name, and her father is just a wonderful man. And I said, you know, no one is going to hold it against this child.
No,
but
most,
you know.
I will say this: most names with an X in it usually have some sort of panache. They have some sort of flair.
Right.
Axel, you have X in it. You know,
right?
It's got a bit of danger,
right?
But tonight's concert is over. So okay, Billy Joel must not be playing tonight because he was over at Target Field last night. Florida Georgia Line, Nelly, and Backstreet Boys—they're at Target Field tonight.
There was a big crowd walking there, and I almost went that way, and I said, "No, I know somebody's big," and I couldn't remember which one it was, but there are a lot of people walking that way.
Well, think about it. You think about when New Kids on the Block were touring, and I believe that was with Boys to Men.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that go back to the late 80s, early 90s, and they've never stopped loving those bands. It's the same thing with Backstreet Boys. If NSYNC ever got together with Justin Timberlake and the rest of that group, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there are people out there, and this is my generation, or this is my timeline, because I was in high school when these bands came out, when Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, and then I was in college when Nelly came around. So this is a sweet spot time when you got all these people that are around 35 to 40 years old. They, you know, if they got kids, maybe the kids can stay at home. Maybe they got a babysitter. Maybe their parents. This is a chance to relive their childhood.
Right. And, you know, it's also, I have not been to a concert at Target Field, but I bet it's just beautiful there. I mean, it's a beautiful stadium.
I mean, if you go there and you see all the sight lines for a Twins game, and then you just sort of you kind of focus in on just one spot on the field, and then you have, you know, the big scoreboards out there helping out to show the video of the artist up close if maybe you're in the second deck or third deck. But yeah, the sight lines have always been beautiful for a Twins game, so it wouldn't be any different for a concert.
Yeah, and my friend said that the sound was a little echoey, but I think in any of these big facilities, it's going to be. But anyway,
you know, I've had the honor of seeing Billy Joel in concert. I saw him when I was in
college.
I've
never seen him in concert. I really like him. I mean, I'm a fan.
He came through Iowa State when I was a sophomore, and one of the guys on my dorm floor said, "Hey, I got tickets to Billy Joel. You want to go?" I said, "Yeah." And so we saw him perform, and great concert. But, yeah, in those big arenas, XL, Target, you know, you don't have the intimacy. It's not very – you're not usually going to be very close unless you can get down on the ground level or get, you know, close up to –
mortgage your home or
pretty much, yes. Unless you can do that, it's you're gonna feel a bit of a disconnect because it's a 20, you know, this tonight 40,000 people gonna hopefully get into the Target Field to see this concert. It's a lot of people.
All right, well, listen, we got a great show lined up for you this hour. We are going to talk with an advocate for transgender rights about the situation involving transgender military personnel currently serving in our armed forces in light of the president's announcement via Twitter that they could no longer serve. A lot of confusion there. Nicole Vanderhyde is going to try and help us out with that. And then after that, the 6:35, we're going to chat with Derek Meister from the Geek Squad about back to school and what you need to know about your kids' technology, what you need to know to keep them safe, what you need to do to keep your wallet safe in terms of the expenditures you make, because some of this stuff is awfully expensive. So keep it right here. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with an advocate for transgender individuals about what happens now with transgender officers and personnel that are serving in the armed forces. What happens to those who might be in the pipeline, who might just have been recruited? What happens in the future? 6:17, Esme Murphy with you on News Radio 830 WCCO. Well, it's certainly an understatement to say that there's a lot of news coming out of the Trump administration these days in Washington. One thing that almost has sort of been overshadowed by everything else is the president announcing this past week on Twitter that transgender individuals could no longer serve in our armed forces. The big question, of course, is what happens to the thousands who already are serving with distinction in our armed services? What happens to those who might be in the process of being recruited? And what really does happen in the future? Because this was all coming out on Twitter. It apparently caught the generals themselves, the people in charge of the armed forces. They were caught by surprise because this is a drastic departure from what President Obama put into place very recently. Nicole Vanderhyde is a former staff sergeant at the U.S. Air Force. And she is, and I'm being told that she is a transgender advocate. Nicole, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
All right. And Nicole, is it okay if I call you Nicole, or would you be preferred to call Sergeant?
No, Nicole.
Nicole, okay, because you're a former sergeant. First of all, tell us your story, okay?
I joined the U.S. Air Force in 2006 and was trained for several months. I had a very long tech school as an Arabic language intelligence analyst. I served in Iraq for from 2009 to 2010. Got out in 2012, and I transitioned the very next year.
So after you got out, you transitioned from male to Nicole, who you are now.
Right, yeah. Okay. I was assigned male at birth and now I'm a woman.
All right, and certainly you said you were an Arabic translator. I believe that those are considered amongst the most prized individuals to have, regardless of gender. I know that there's a very active attempt to recruit and train younger people in these languages that are so critical to our intelligence and our defense future, and as well as in terms of, you know, the Department of State. So obviously you're somebody who is incredibly skilled.
Well, that's the thing about when you're turning away folks who are excited about serving their country, who come with lots of talent, you're limiting yourself, you're limiting your force when you're excluding folks who could be powerful contributors.
Right. And as I said, I mean, I just know certainly from law enforcement and from the military. I also know from, you know, the diplomatic standpoint, the State Department, they are literally trying to recruit. They even have camps for high school kids in some of these federal departments just to try and get them to train in some of these languages, including Arabic, because the United States doesn't have that kind of proficiency. And it sounds like you obviously do. So I'm sure you are extremely valued at the Air Force. The estimates that I've seen of transgender men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. I've seen an excess of 10,000. What do you think? I mean, do you have any ballpark for what it currently might be?
Yeah, it's between 2,000 and 3,000 who are serving active duty and 15,000 plus for when you include the Guard and the Reserve.
Okay. I assume that you probably have been able to talk to some transgender individuals who are still serving. How are they doing right now?
There are a number of folks I know who have re-enlisted, taking faith in the promise that was made by the Defense Department in 2016 that they would receive protection, that they would receive their medically necessary health care treatment, and that they would be able to be their authentic selves and continue in the career that they're very proud of, that they're powerful contributors in, and that it's the way of life that they know.
In terms of, so you transitioned after you left the military. Can I ask, and if this is too personal, let me know, did you ever consider transitioning while you were in the military, or was that simply not an option?
It was absolutely not an option. When I was in the military, any cross-gender expression had to be done in complete and utter secret and privacy in my own home, because at that time, in 2012, when I was still serving, you could be expelled for, you know, being in public with cross-gender expression if you were suspected of being trans or even just, you know, cross-dressing or going out in drag, then that would be enough to expel you.
Some of the things that I've read, some of the articles I've read that I thought were really interesting were from people such as yourself who are either retired or anonymously, you know, still active duty or, you know, still working for the military, writing saying, I just wish the president could meet me and talk to me about why I'm serving. Do you feel that as well?
Absolutely, I do. I think that a lot of the anti-trans backlash that's going on is because folks are ignorant about who trans folks are. They don't understand that we're just like everybody else. There are people who are under the impression that they haven't met a trans person, but the fact of the matter is that we're all over the place. You're bumping into us at the grocery store. We're helping you at the DMV. You know, that we're for you to think that you haven't met us.
Yeah.
Just shows how little you know about us, because we're just like everybody else.
Yeah. And, you know, I will just relate a personal experience. Somebody I know and work with very closely and have for many years transitioned. And at first, I think myself and others were sort of taken aback and weren't sure what we should do and were upset that we didn't have the right pronoun. And we thought this is just going to be really strange. And, you know, something, it's not. It was different at first because I had never known somebody or closely that had transitioned. But then I thought, you know something, this person is still the same person and they're still doing exactly what they were doing and we're still working together in the same way. And, you know, it's just not, and I was sharing this with somebody else that we work with, you know, it's really not a big deal because they're still the same person. They just have a different name and a different gender.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not like we turn into completely different people. You know, we still have the same hobbies. We still have the same interests. We still have the same passions. We still have the same dreams and hopes that we did before transition. We're just your neighbors and your friends and family.
Right. I just remember thinking, well, what does this mean? And, you know, I was kind of caught off guard. And so I think a lot of people are. In terms of, have you gotten sort of, what is the latest? Because I've been looking, has there been any clarification given to what happens if you are trans and working for the military?
So that's the interesting thing, is that even the White House can't answer those questions. When folks were asking the Pentagon for clarification on this issue, the Pentagon referred all questions to the White House and said that, you know, they would take no action until they received a directive, which hasn't come down. All that we've seen of this is three tweets from Donald Trump. So, and even the White House, when they asked Sarah Huckabee Sanders, for clarification about folks who are currently serving, folks who are in the pipeline to become officers and enlisted. She had no answers on that. So this just goes to show you, this is just another instance of this administration being quick to run their mouths and slow to actually focus on developing sound, well thought out policies.
Chatting with Nicole Vanderhyde, she's a former staff sergeant at the U.S. Air Force. She transitioned after she left the service, after serving for, 7 years, you said?
I was in for six, yeah.
6 years. One of the issues I've heard people say is that the reason that the president's policy should be put into place is that people will join the armed forces and then asked to go through the medical transitions, whether it's surgery or hormone therapy. In other words, taxpayers would foot the bill for the transition, and that would be very expensive. What do you think about that?
Okay, well, first of all, transition is not when you look at medically necessary procedures, gender transition is not highly ranked. It's relatively inexpensive. For an individual to transition, I think it costs half the price of a knee replacement or something like that.
Half the price of a what?
Of a knee replacement.
Okay.
And the military spends more money on Viagra than it would spend on transition-related health care. So the money issue is it's unfounded.
And where does that figure come from? Because I hadn't heard that.
The Viagra?
Yeah.
That was, I caught that on, I think it was Business Insider.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying that it really wouldn't be that much?
No, not at all. Not at all.
And
here's the thing about when you're talking about cutting one demographic medically necessary health care, you're walking, a line right up against, clear and blatant discrimination. I mean, what is one demographic medically necessary health care? Why is that demographic less important than other folks who need health care? I mean, why don't we just, cut out folks who need Ritalin from the military, because that would save us money, wouldn't it?
Well, there are a lot of, I think that there are a lot of people with certain illnesses that I assume probably can't get into the military. Certainly that used to be the case. In terms of, and you're obviously no longer in the military. Are you sort of actively involved? Is there a network of advocates such as yourself that are kind of working on this? Or, I mean, I assume you probably have a separate job now and do that, but it sounds like there are people who are stepping up to, come on shows like this and answer these kinds of questions, which is very illuminating and very helpful. But what kind of a network is responding to this?
Well, I mean, it's an ad hoc network, that's for sure. I mean, I know a number of trans folks who are veterans through the Minneapolis VA. So we've got a very small network, but it's not like, I mean,
and are you still here in Minnesota?
Yes, I am. I live in St. Paul.
Okay.
So it's not like there's an expansive, well coordinated campaign here. It's just anonymous individuals who, are living our lives. I have a 9-to-5 job. I volunteer. On the board of directors of Transforming Families is a nonprofit that supports trans youth. And I'm just a single mom trying to, take care of me and my kids and my community and let people know who I am and what I'm about.
I will say that when the president put this out there on Twitter, apparently he gave, I think one of the top, generals had less than 24 hours notice. Many others had almost no notice. There actually has been a backlash against this proposal of his from Republicans. This is not been, roundly applauded at all. Is that encouraging to you?
Yeah, I think it shows that diversity is a key value in both, conservative and liberal circles. Folks realize that the more heads there are at the table, the better off we'll be. And it's not like this is a controversial, you know, I mean, I know socially it's controversial, but this issue of integrating transgender individuals in the military has been studied for years. The Pentagon has poured a lot of money into the research on this. This was not some impromptu measure taken by the Obama administration. This was well thought out, well researched, and all of the studies that were conducted showed that there's no sound reason why trans folks ought to be excluded from the military. So I think that Republicans acknowledge that if there are patriotic Americans who want to put their lives at risk for their fellow citizens, then who is anybody to stand in the way of that?
All right. And what is the name of your organization again, Nicole?
Transforming Families, Minnesota.
Transforming Families, okay. Well, and I think you know, going back to the first thing that you talked about, you know, the fact, just hearing your expertise in Arabic, I mean, you're such a policy would, in effect, rule out people who have skills and talents that could be of aid to our nation. And
well, that's the very thing is, you know, I've considered joining the Guard of the Reserve. There are a number of factors that make me hesitant, including this past election. You know, I've got years of experience, I've got years of training, I've got valuable skills that I'd be able to contribute to our armed forces today, but it's actions like this that are undermining that investment that the military made in me to continue to contribute to our armed forces.
All right. Well, Nicole Vanderhyde, a former staff sergeant with the U.S. Air Force, thank you so much. I mean, really, really fascinating information, and I appreciate your sharing your own personal background with this, because I think that's the kind of thing that I think makes people really think about this issue and, you know, maybe wonder if what really is the right thing, if they are, in fact, supporters of the president on this. So thank you so much. I really appreciate your coming on and your time this evening.
Thank you, Esme.
Okay, take care. All right, Nicole Vanderhyde, fascinating. Really interesting perspective from her, and I appreciate her time this evening. Well, we do have to take a break. Want to give you some of the weather. Right now, it's pretty nice, I can tell you that, but we'll get you some more details than that. And then when we come back, we're going to talk with Derek Meister from the Geek Squad about going back to school, the shopping list when it comes to technology, because even when the kids are like, in third grade, it seems like there's an iPad or something they need that's a lot more sophisticated than you and I certainly ever had. So we're going to get some advice from him, as well as advice, you know, on what's too much for kids at certain ages, and, you know, what you should do, what you should avoid, limits you can put on your kids, because that's a problem as well. So keep it here. We have much more ahead. You're listening to News Radio 830 WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Well, it's just about almost that time of year, the parents love and the kids hate. Back to school. If you go into the stores, they're already pushing it. The back to school, back to school, back to school. Go to Target, back to school displays. Certainly Best Buy, Office Max.
Before we move on with this, I don't sense as much joy in your voice as you've had in previous years.
Well, I am. Actually, one of my kids is going to be a senior, so I'm just like a little nervous about the whole college thing, to be really honest with you. It's sort of been a fun summer, just kind of spending some time with them and enjoying it. And there are a lot of pressures at school. So I guess I'm just, as they get a little older here, and they're still in high school, but one of the problems is, you know, it gets expensive. It's expensive now. Even these little kids, I mean, elementary school kids, and sometimes, most of the times, these tablets that they're being given are being assigned by the school. Usually it's not something that the parent has to purchase. But, you know, there are purchases, like even the calculators. I mean, my calculator used to be $10. Suddenly the one they need is like $100. But, you know, at some point, the family, most families, you know, break down and have to get at least, you know, a computer or a couple of computers, because the homework oftentimes needs to be done on that kind of you know, a laptop. And certainly when kids go off to college, it's almost expected. And, you know, a lot of questions about that, a lot of questions about convenience, its expense. Also, you know, you've got kids now walking around these campuses with, you know, a few thousand dollars worth of stuff. I mean, you know, between the smartphone, the headphones, the calculator, and the laptop, I mean, that's a lot that they're walking around with. And certainly, you know, I think puts them at risk. So there are a lot of questions involved. And then you want to make sure you're getting the right stuff. You want to make sure everything's backed up. So many questions. Well, the Geek Squad is actually organizing an event at Hamline University on August 1st, just about this whole issue, because it's big and it's expensive and you want to get it right. Derek Meister is a Geek Squad agent with Best Buy's Geek Squad online support team. Derek, am I saying your name correctly, your last name?
Yep, that's absolutely correct.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. Now, I know that you guys are kind of going to be in a dorm room on Tuesday, August 1st at Hamline. Is that for the public or is that just kind of your expertise kind of all pooled together to give out interviews for the media?
As far as I understand, it's a little bit of both on that. We definitely want to make sure that we're getting out there talking about the back to school stuff. Just like you said, you know, it's for a lot of people, it's back to school shopping is starting a lot sooner. August used to be the time, but now we're seeing a full third of our shoppers are telling us that they plan to start earlier every year. So that's really why we want to make sure that we're getting out there talking about this stuff as early as possible.
All right. In terms of, obviously you're at Hamline University, so, you know, it's college kids, but I mean, I've got high school kids and, they certainly are using computers for their work.
Absolutely. And kind of like, you mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, technology is really important for that, kindergarten through 12th grade these days. And, especially just for the fact that you are in a lot of ways, it's an investment to get them trained on that technology that they're absolutely going to have to know how to use as soon as they get out of college or get directly into, you know, a job after high school. These days it's just like, you know, once upon a time it was learning how to read. Now you have to be able to type, search, connect, manipulate files. Essentially that very basic computer technology knowledge that you need to really survive in today's jobs.
Are most kids, do you think, getting that in high school?
Well, that's one of those things, just like anything else, you know, when you're dealing with the education that your kids, it's something we encourage our parents to get involved with, find out, you know, what their kids are actually receiving tech-wise and technology through their schools, as well as, you know, just supplementing that on the side. One of the things I'm sure you've seen is that Geek Squad offers various summer academies throughout the year to kind of bring that technology out to underserved teens around the country, as well as our teen tech centers. Kind of get that knowledge, and that's going to help them get with their future careers with all of that technology that's out there.
Absolutely, and that's so important because that kind of a gap is something that needs to be addressed. And I think Geek Squad does a wonderful job, and Best Buy does a wonderful job attempting to do that. Let me ask you, what are some of the common things that come up when it comes to students, when it comes to back to school, or when it comes to sort of the crises that can, you know, suddenly occur when people come running to people like you? What are some of the basic issues from back to school? I assume some of it may have to do with just shopping right now.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Like we said, that, you know, more people are shopping earlier, they're shopping longer, and they're spending more as they go out to make sure that their kids are prepared. Electronics right now, you know, for the college bound, like your kids, 61% of them, the number one thing that they're looking for is a laptop computer. You know, they're also looking for tablets, accessories like, you know, your mouse, your flash drive, your charger. People are looking for calculators, like you said. That's kind of still kind of surprises people why they're, you know, everybody thinks, well, why doesn't my kid be able to use their smartphone? A lot of that has to do with standardized testing. They want to make sure that you have a very specific calculator that's not able to record things or be used cheating. And it's something that way they make that you don't have to have a teacher having to know 18 different smartphones when they're trying to, you know, help their class go through math equations.
Right. In terms of, a laptop, I assume probably people also come to you about upgrading a laptop and that kind of thing. Can you give us sort of some advice here? If you've got an older laptop, will that work? What won't it work for? Mm-hmm. That kind of basics.
Well, one of the very first things you're going to want to do is make sure you're going to check both the software and the hardware on that, on whether or not it's going to support what you need. For kids that are going off to college or even for high school, but more importantly with college, I always recommend to kind of get in touch with the college and their ResNet and their student IT support.
I don't even know what a ResNet is.
That's basically kind of the equivalent of RAs. For the dorm, that's the equivalent of
resident advisors.
The internet. Yep, for the internet. So those are the student help.
So there are now, so instead of resident advisors, there are actually resident ResNets?
Yep, so basically you have resident advisors for the dorm. These are the ResNet is the equivalent of that for the school's internet and technology. So,
okay, so
absolutely something to find out from them.
So and you're saying just about every school, like if you're going to go to, let's say, Hamlin probably has a ResNet or somebody who can,
yep.
You can say, hey, listen, I want to make sure my kid's in good shape. What kind of laptop, what kind of technology do they need or, you know?
Yeah, you want to talk with them about the minimum requirements to get onto the school's network. Obviously, you don't want to be coming in there with something that doesn't even connect or has a problem. I also specifically for college students recommend, getting a little bit more information from the department that oversees the individual degree that you're looking for, just because there's obviously going to be different needs for different degrees. A art student is going to have completely different needs than, say, a business major. You know, the kind of work that they're going to do, what kind of, compatible systems are they going to need. That sort of thing. So that's a great way for, new students, their first year, kind of get a feel for that. In a lot of cases, we have a lot of students who still not quite sure what they're going to decide on. Sometimes they go through their entire 4 years and at the last moment decide what degree.
Right.
So they look for just a more of a generic computer that's all around good. And of course, even before all of that, our Geek Squad agents are at every Best Buy, and you can actually do some online research on our BestBuy.com website. We actually have a student hub. You go to BestBuy.com, search student deals. You can sign up for an account. You'll see on there that right now we're offering savings of up to $150 on select computers, but students can actually save an additional $100 after they've actually signed up for an account on there. So absolutely feel free to visit us for that additional research.
Right. And I think your advice about if you've got a specific major, asking, and I guess it makes total sense that now, colleges would have somebody who's in charge of, tech, but say, because I would think that if somebody's going to be a design major, or perhaps somebody who's going to do maybe film, they might want to go towards a Mac. From my TV background, whereas the other might be different. And so I think that's excellent advice as well. We have to take a quick break here and start chatting with Derek Meister from the Geek Squad about the event that they're having at August 1st at Hamlin University. And can they get more information about that event on your website?
Right now, they probably want to visit our corporate blog at corporate.bestbuy.com for more information. And, of course, you can always contact your local Best Buy for more information about events that are going on in your area.
Okay. I would like to take – we do need to take a quick break. But, Derek, when we come back, I'd like to ask you quickly how to prevent the computer crisis for your kid or your teenager or your student in terms of backups and that kind of thing. All right. So right now it is 6:48, the McCarthy Auto World time. The no hail side is going on now at McCarthy Auto World. Save up to 20% on select Buick and GMCs. And that's the no hail sale. Folks, keep it here. We're going to take a quick break. It is 6:50 in the Twin Cities. Esme Murphy with you until 9 o'clock, chatting with Derek Meister of the Geek Squad about what you need to know for back to school shopping when it comes to computers, the tech side. Derek, let me ask you quickly, what are some of the things that people, people come to you either to purchase something or else, I'm sure they come to you in a crisis stage, saying desperately, probably having lost something or the computer has crashed. What advice do you have for students?
Well, one of the very first things, just because your students are going to be generating a lot of documents, a lot of videos, depending on what their major is, a lot of information that they're going to need is to back up. I always like to say that there's really three rules to computer happiness, and that's backup, backup, backup. You want to make sure that you're backing that data up to either an external hard drive or an online cloud service. That way that information is protected in case something not just physically happens to your computer, like say they accidentally leave the laptop at the library and it gets stolen, but also if say something happens to the computer, you know, the hard drive crashes,
grape juice gets spilled on it.
Yep, absolutely.
It's happened at our house. Grape juice.
Because really that data, that personal data, whether it's your photos, your documents, your music, whatever, that's really the most valuable thing on that computer. Programs can be reloaded, the computer can be replaced, but that data, once it's lost, it's really hard to get it back. So be proactive on that and make sure that you have a backup plan. And of course, if you're not sure about, you know, protecting that data, visit us visit us in the stores, talk to our Geek Squad agents, visit us online at geekswad.com. We're more than happy to kind of give you some tips and help and get you on that right path for backing and protecting that data.
Because certainly, I mean, obviously that personal, you know, all that is difficult to lose. But if you lose the school paper you've been working on for 3 months, I mean, you're in trouble. And
that's nothing more heart-wrenching than having somebody, connect to our agent at 3 in the morning, that 27-page dissertation is corrupted due to a virus. And, you know, we can do our best on that. You just can't always guarantee that once that data is lost that it can be recovered. So just like you said, be proactive on this.
Now, a lot of kids end up being exposed. I think Apple's been very savvy in getting their products into schools, even for very young children. And so, you know, a lot of kids, I think, are getting used to Apples, where I think a lot of other people, older people probably have PCs. Is there any way you lean, or does it depend on the process, or what are your thoughts?
Well, in terms of the technology that's out there, obviously it's going to depend on the school and what tracks they want to take on that. A lot of people have Windows computers at home just because that's what they're used to at work. So fortunately, a lot of parents, the kids do get exposure to Windows through that. One of the other things, that interesting things that we are seeing for, you know, the younger kids out there, that K through 12, is the use of Chromebooks. These are very inexpensive laptops, what they call very thin. In other words, they have very little software other than essentially a web browser. So they're a lot more resilient against the things that kids can do going on online and surfing to websites they shouldn't. They're very resilient against viruses. Pretty much what happens is that if something goes wrong, you literally just reset it and it comes back up with that. So,
and can you store things on a cloud, or?
You can use the Google Cloud services. It is actually designed, almost everything, it's really designed, just like you say, to do everything in the cloud. So you're accessing websites to do your work. These days you can do just about anything on the internet. Things are kept on servers, and that's a great thing as well, just because, again, if something happens to the computer, you don't have to worry about that. Your data is safe up there on the cloud. It's protected. Generally, you're going to have people that are, you know, more invested in actually protecting that data than your teenage son or daughter might be. And then that way, it's a very inexpensive device. Great computer for if you have multiple kids and you just want to give them something so that they can get online and do their work that way versus getting them a full computer on that.
And how much did the Google Chromebooks run?
They range just depending on the kind of specs that you want, but you can very easily find a entry level one for about $199. That's again, good. Very inexpensive, great little device. I use one personally a lot of times just because it's so cheap, and generally they are smaller and lighter. That it's a great computer just for getting online, doing whatever I need to do. You can even edit documents with Google Docs and other websites. Even Microsoft has their Office suite designed as a website that you can access through the Chromebook. So, again, a really great investment. Other things, though, we do have other laptops on there for people that are going to need a little bit more involved, you know, with things like Windows, Office, just like you said, editing videos, that sort of thing. And again, regardless of what you want to look at, whether it's a Chromebook, a MacBook, a Windows computer, again, we are having those sales right now, and students can get that extra $100 off a lot of these select laptops.
And that website, again, it's the Geek Squad part of the Best Buy website, right?
For the student deals, just visit bestbuy.com, and in the search box, just put in student deals. That'll take you to our student hub. You can see all the current savings and then sign up for those deals with your student email address. We send all the discounts to you directly, and it kind of helps you get on.
Awesome.
And it's not just for computers. Great. It's everything that you're going to need for your dorm.
Well, Derek Meister, thank you so much. I got to cut you off then. Great
sure.
advice. Keep it here, folks. Listening to News Radio 830 WCCO.